Africa's Nile River is almost always associated with Egypt. Remember baby Moses floating in that basket in the film The Ten Commandments? Well, Egypt does draw more water from the Nile than any other country, but it doesn't contribute any water to the river. Egypt is a desert. Rivers and rain from 8 or 9 other countries make the Nile flow, and those countries want some of their water back. In the second part of her series on the river, NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports that East Africa is now calling dibs on the Nile, and in Ethiopia, they're claiming the moral and geographical high ground.
Most maps don't even mention this place, but there's a village in Ethiopia called Gish Abai, where people say you can find the real source of the Nile River. Gish Abai is on a dirt road high up in the soggy green hills of western Ethiopia. And to reach the source, you've got to get by this rather prickly Ethiopian Orthodox priest. He's going to ask you if you've eaten anything. And even if you've had only a slice of toast and a cup of coffee, you'd better come back some other day.
Because we what?
The next day, the priest says you can't wear shoes to the source. So you take your shoes off. And then the priest says that God doesn't want women to see the source. So make sure you've got a man friend around who can operate a camera and a tape recorder. Then and only then will the priest unlock the gate that opens to the garden that leads to the shack that houses the spring that starts the world's longest river. The Ethiopians call it Little Abai, but others call it the beginning of the Blue Nile, a major tributary that makes the Nile River great. Hear anything? The Blue Nile apparently starts with a whimper. Pictures in the shack show a door in the floor not much wider than a turkey platter, and spring water moving slowly underneath. But that spring quickly draws water from nearby lakes, rivers, and streams. And by the time the Blue Nile joins forces with another major tributary in Sudan and heads through Egypt, it gives life to more than 200 million people. So Gish Abai is considered a holy trickle. Every week, pilgrims fill up their jerry cans and drink the water for good health. Bosana Hailu came all the way from St. Louis, Missouri.
When they're sick, they're not going to the doctor. They just come here. That's why I come, to drink this water. That's my culture, yeah, because I was sick.
And so have you been to the doctor in the States?
Yeah, they treat me, but...
But you need extra insurance.
Yes.
From the Nile.
Uh-huh.
I see. Yeah. And what is your ailment?
I can't tell you.
That's, okay.
That's secret.
That's okay. I understand. The river really gets its shoulders near Lake Tana. That's where the water heaves in tremendous sheets from Nile Falls, a nearly 100-foot drop. But until recently, the Nile has been off limits to Ethiopia. Part of the problem is that the water flows in deep gorges too steep to access. And 2 20th century agreements have also kept the Nile at bay. Back in 1929, colonial Britain guaranteed Egypt nearly exclusive rights to the Nile. And Egypt later agreed to share the Nile with neighboring Sudan. Trouble is, no one bothered to let Ethiopia in on the deal. Jakob Arsenault teaches international relations in Addis Ababa. He's also been privy to Nile Basin negotiations.
For Ethiopia, that's absolutely hollow, you know. That's as good as nothing.
Ethiopia now needs some of the Blue Nile's headwaters to become a hydropower superpower. People here say the Tana Belis project in western Ethiopia is not technically a dam. It uses Lake Tana as its reservoir, but it performs many of the same functions as a dam. The underground facility is like a scene out of Fritz Lang's Metropolis, a giant concrete labyrinth of turbines and transformers designed to create more than 400 megawatts of energy. There's enough power here to power many of Ethiopia's neighbors. The facility also has the potential to irrigate the farms of this region out of the Stone Age. Ermias Wupshet is an engineer on the project.
The goal is to be rich.
By diverting some of the headwaters of the Blue Nile, Ethiopians say they have a chance to cash in on their birthright. John Bosco Souza is legal counsel to the government of Uganda.
Ethiopia is doing a great job already regarding water in Ethiopia. They are ready to move on with or without anybody. I think in Uganda also thinking along the same lines. We are also aspiring to get somewhere.
But to Egypt, the Nile is a matter of national security. And many Egyptians say they're willing to fight for their rights to the river. Yakup Arsenault asks,
my God, where do they fight? Do they fight in Ethiopia? Do they fight in Uganda, in Tanzania? If they fight for water, is that to conquer the water or to conquer the countries?
When Britain handed the Nile to Egypt, it controlled nearly all of East Africa. But the former colonies and protectorates of the region are now sovereign states. And they say that Egypt and Sudan are treating them like colonies. Asfaw Dengamo is Ethiopia's water minister.
We are considering them as our brothers. The problem is we are not receiving reciprocal feeling.
For years, the Nile Basin countries have been working to establish a cooperative framework to share the Nile more equitably. And in May, five nations signed an agreement to move that process forward. But Egypt and Sudan are refusing to sign. Dengamo says the message from the downriver nations is clear.
Don't look at it. Don't touch it. Don't smell it. Don't do anything. This is the reality which we are living in. And this we are opposing.
Ethiopia says it can't afford to remain technologically unsuited to progress. Some farmers here still rely on 400-year-old footbridges built by Portuguese missionaries to cross the Nile. But Egypt urges upriver countries to focus more on tapping unused water in the Nile Basin. Ayman Habu Hadid heads an agricultural research center in Cairo.
Actually, the Nile Basin countries can improve the Nile harvest of water quite a lot. The need there is to grow crops from the rainy season and to save some water for the dry season to continue.
But that kind of talk only gets Ethiopia's back up. It sounds too much like a bossy neighbor issuing a command. Ethiopians say they know a thing or two about commandments. The Orthodox priests claim that the Ark of the Covenant is here, not so far away from the source of the Nile. And nowhere does God say in those Ten Commandments that the Nile belongs to Egypt. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News.
You can see the Blue Nile, the Ethiopian highlands, and its people in a photo gallery at our website, npr.org. Next week, the final installment in our series on the Nile River, Gwen reports on ways that countries up the river from Egypt may be able to draw more water from the river. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.